Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio, and we want to welcome back to the program Dr. Erwin Redlener, Director of the National Center for Disaster Preparedness at Columbia University and President and Co-Founder of the Children's Health Fund. He's also the author of Americans at Risk, Why We Are Not Prepared for Mega Disasters. Dr. Redlener, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Glad to be with you.
And I understand you were out in the Rockaways yesterday. The Rockaways were, of course, one of the hardest hit communities last week. I know you've been assessing the disaster response. What were you looking for?
Well, first of all, we were actually in the Rockaways, but also Coney Island, and then went out to Staten Island. So we spent the day assessing sites at the request of the mayor's office here in New York, but also trying to organize our own resources in terms of what needed to be done and where the needs were that were specific to what our ability is to provide health care to people in disaster situations. And by the way, I should also note that we visited some shelters and other sites in New Jersey the end of last week. But basically, what we were trying to do is get a sense of how medical needs should be understood or assessed, and then what kind of resources need to be put in place to make sure that people weren't losing access to essential medical care, and that was our main goal out there.
And what's your conclusion about that situation?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the hurricane, of course, strikes the coast, and it hits indiscriminately affluent communities and communities that are not at all affluent, in fact, disadvantaged. And what we find is typically, and this has been the case in every disaster we have been involved in, is that the more affluent communities, even if they're very hard hit and lots of tragedy, that the access to resources generally is much, much better. So people leave, they'll go stay with family or friends, and they'll come back, they'll rebuild, they have appropriate insurance and so forth. But in the poorer communities, what happens is people who struggle generally, even without a storm, for access to medical care, enough money to just support themselves day to day and so forth, these people under the same storm conditions will have a much, much tougher time in the aftermath, including through recovery. So when you drive through the Rockaways, you see street corners in areas where there are housing projects just with people gathered around. We saw some open fires because it was pretty chilly yesterday as it is today. There were piles of clothing on the food and piles of debris, and you know, you see the police driving by periodically, and then you'll end up at a disaster resource center that will have mobile facilities from FEMA, from the Office of Emergency Management in the city, and then random things happening. You know, some cases we'd see the National Guard with very large tractor trailers filled with food, but no one to distribute it at the moment that we were there. And so a lot of things having to do with the actual organization and coordination of services makes it a little bit difficult to assess what are the medical needs, because mm-hmm. there's really no one to ask. You can't go up and say to an official there, what do you think are the medical needs in this community right now? Nobody knows because they're busy doing, you know, what they should be doing, which is finding, make sure people aren't hungry, that they can get where they need to get and right. get their electricity back on.
You know, I know from your previous appearances on this program that you are a frequent critic of some of the disaster relief organizations, both in the public sector and the private sector. And so I want to ask you about some of the listeners that we've had calling in, criticizing FEMA, criticizing the Red Cross on our show. For example, on our comments page right now, Fishmail writes, "It's obvious from news reports that there are major issues with getting help to the Rockaways and other coastal communities, and that in order to understand what's not working, it would help New Yorkers if they knew what agencies are tasked to be the first responders and are they on the ground or not. Beyond that, here are some residents of the Rockaways really kind of shouting at Mayor Bloomberg when he visited there on Saturday. Listen.
She's convincing people he did
nothing right.
Nothing right is going on here. There's old ladies in my building got nothing.
Nothing.
When we got to get some help?
That was direct to the mayor's ears.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the other side, we got a comment from Neil yesterday after some of this stuff was surfacing on our show saying, do people actually know how FEMA and the Red Cross operate in the field? There's no army of personnel waiting in a warehouse just waiting to be activated. They have to assess the situation and then dispatch accordingly. They also have to be able to get to those areas. So defending the emergency response.
Right.
Where would you start in your assessment?
It's really very difficult. The organization of relief services, and it gets worse, by the way, in recovery, but the immediate response relief efforts can be extremely frustrating and very painful to watch because one of the things the phrase I used in the book Americans at Risk was that what we see generally in this type of setting, and we certainly saw it yesterday, are what I called random acts of preparedness. So you go to one place, and everything seems to be fine. We visited a big shelter site in Coney Island, a relief site, rather, and everything was working smoothly. The things that were available for residents of the area, you know, whether it was diapers or blankets and so forth, everything labeled and organized on tables, feeding stations everywhere, and couple of mobile units providing different services. But we had just come from a site where the National Guard trucks filled with food were still waiting for somebody to come and distribute it, where a resident, the woman, was literally screaming at me about where's help, I can't get, we have no information, for instance. Nobody's coming around. We're to our neighbors, they don't have power. We don't have cell phone service. We have nothing. And she was particularly frustrated by the lack of information. Just, you know, she said, why don't the...
And I hear that over and over and over again. Lack of communication.
So one of the things that I think we're concerned about in this world of disaster planning is that we seem not to learn very well from previous experiences. So we see this now, but of course we saw very, very similar things happening post-Katrina down in the Gulf and in every other disaster. And what I would like to see happen is a lot more focus on how we're going to get better prepared to do things that are obvious, like communicating with residents who are desperate in need of not just food and heat, but actual information. I think in the middle of a disaster and right after it's happened, one of the most desperate needs is to be informed about what's happening and what to expect and where to go for services. So there's it depends. If you're on block A, you may be very satisfied with what's happening, and two blocks away, you know, block B or C, you may not be getting any information or access to the food that you and your family might need.
And I don't know if it's out of your area of expertise to critique the power companies, but I've noticed that as Governor Cuomo and Governor Christie and Mayor Bloomberg hold briefings, especially the governors, they're starting to sound an angry, scolding, threatening tone at the power companies. And I don't know if this is just politics or if this is because they're falling short, but listen, for example, to Governor Cuomo for 40 seconds yesterday.
The service is not when the sun is shining and everything is perfect. Do the lights work? Yes. When the sun is shining and everything is perfect, the lights work. That's not the service. The test of the service is, were you prepared for the storm? Did you have a backup plan? Did you have a plan to get out there? Did you have people out there 24 hours? Were you communicating with the consumers so they knew what was going on? Did you have an alternative plan to communicate with people so they knew how to get you? And if your plan was, will they contact me on the web? If their power is out in the apartment, how are they going to contact you on the web?
Erwin Redlener, do you have an opinion as to whether
that's politics or
that's a valid critique?
No, and I wrote about this as well, but I think that... First of all, I think the governor is 100% correct about this. But it speaks to a larger problem, Brian, which has to do with the fragility of our infrastructure generally, which is really concerning. You know, and it ranges from could we do better in protecting our subway systems from flooding or the hospital generators from going out. And in this case, it is so critical that we have a very resilient, very secure way of handling power issues. First of all, our whole electrical grid is aging and completely inadequate and not up to the task of of protecting citizens in the event of a major disaster. And secondly, the disaster planning process for the power companies is nowhere near where it should be. So I think this is definitely an area. Now, the problem here, of course, is that fixing all this will require some significant investments. And, you know, we're not that good at making investments in things that affect our long-term future. We're very, very, you know, day-to-day oriented in our thinking about what we're spending money on, especially when the economy's not in great shape.
Well, a little bit of assessment of how things are going and what we need to learn for the future from Erwin Redlener, director of the National Center for Disaster Preparedness at Columbia University, president and co-founder of the Children's Health Fund, and author of Americans at Risk, Why We Are Not Prepared for Mega Disasters. Thank you, as always.
Always. Thank you, Brian. Bye-bye.
And our coverage continues. Stay with us.